So this evening we've heard claims that we'll never cure cancer and there'll be no new medicines without animal testing. We've also heard excuses and justifications for animal experimentation on the basis that intensive farming and other animal abuses are a greater evil. But that's not the issue of dispute. Indeed, Professor Colin Blakemore, probably our greatest defender of animal experimentation, freely accepts that it's evil, but he believes that it's a necessary evil. The notion of the three R's, reduce, refine and replace, implicitly accepts that elimination of animal experimentation is the goal. So the issue of dispute is whether animal tests are necessary, whether they help humans more than they harm us. That they harm us cannot be denied. Margaret's already mentioned Vioxx and the Northwick Park clinical trial fiasco, two very obvious examples of where we were misled by proof of safety in animals. Even monkeys, our close, well, supposedly the best model that we have. There are many other examples, including hormone replacement therapy, which was prescribed to millions of women based on studies in monkeys, which indicated that it would lower their risk of heart disease after the menopause. In fact, huge studies in women taking hormone replacement therapy for many years have shown that it increases their risk of heart disease, as well as increasing their risk of breast cancer. It's caused thousands, tens of thousands of cases of breast cancer. Stroke is our third leading killer after cancer and heart disease, and over 700 drugs to treat stroke have been successfully developed in animal models. Over 150 of these have been tried out in patients in clinical trials. Not a single one is effective and safe for patients. Many eminent cancer researchers have lamented the failings of animal studies. Dr. Richard Klausner, who was the director of the American National Cancer Institute, said, "The history of cancer research has been a history of curing cancer in the mouse. We've cured mice of cancer for decades, and it simply didn't work in humans." Dr. Erwin Bross, who was the director of the largest cancer research institute in the world, the Sloan Kettering in New York, went further. He said, "While conflicting animal results have often delayed and hampered advances in the war on cancer, they have never produced a single substantial advance in either the prevention or the treatment of human cancer." Cancer Research UK acknowledges, "We do trials in people because animal models do not predict what will happen in humans." And the American National Cancer Institute admits that we've lost treatments for cancer because they were ineffective in mice. I've worked in drug development for pharmaceutical companies myself, and I've been a patient with a serious illness. So I've seen firsthand the irrelevance of animal experimentation. What happens in animals doesn't matter. It's what happens in people that counts. When I was in hospital last year with a tumour in my pancreas, scientists announced that the pancreas is so dramatically different between rodents and humans that studying mice and rats is futile. The object of study has to be human. The lead researcher said, "We can no longer rely on studies in mice and rats. It is now imperative that we focus on human islets. At the end of the day, it is the only way to understand how they function." I wish they'd realised that 30 years ago. And it's the same story with so many diseases. We invest most of our time and money in animal research, and then decades later find out that we should have been studying humans all along. And we've been told tonight that animal tests are responsible for all the drugs and the treatments that we have today. But let's look at the facts. Aspirin, certainly the most common medicine in the world, probably the most useful, has nothing to do with animal experiments. It's been used for thousands of years, ever since people noticed that chewing on willow bark eased their aches and pains. So there's my answer to Ian. Aspirin is the first example, but here are some more. Anesthetics were discovered at parties in the 1800s when scientists got together and passed around the laughing gas and the ether and fell over and bashed and bruised themselves and found out that it didn't hurt until the next day. Antibiotics were famously discovered by Alexander Fleming, who noticed penicillin killing bacteria in his petri dishes back in 1928. Years later, Fleming himself said how fortunate we didn't have these animal tests in the 1940s, for penicillin would probably never have been granted a license, and possibly the whole field of antibiotics might never have been realised. What he was referring to was the fact that guinea pigs, for example, can be killed by penicillin. Animals react very differently. Antidepressants were discovered by accident when TB patients noticed that their drugs made them feel much happier. Many asthma treatments were discovered by a doctor who had asthma himself and who tried over 600 drugs on himself in the 1960s. It's incredible how many drugs we have from brave or foolish self-experimentation. Most of our AIDS drugs were designed on computers and tested on human blood samples. Not a single effective AIDS drug has come from more than 25 years of very expensive animal experimentation. 80 vaccines have been developed. They've been tested successfully in primates. They've gone on to be tested in volunteers and clinical trials. Every single one of them has failed. Leukemia treatments are the biggest success story of modern medicine, certainly one of the biggest success stories in modern medicine. One of the new leukemia treatments is Gleevec, which was designed on computer, tested on human cells, where it worked incredibly well. Then it went into animal tests, as all drugs must, and it was very toxic to dogs' livers, so it went into the dustbin. Fortunately, somebody who'd been involved in the earlier human trials rescued it from the bin and tried it on a queue of patients who were queuing up to try it. It's now one of the most successful cancer treatments that we have. And the truth is, as very many scientists have said, there is no way to judge the efficacy of a new approach without testing it on human beings. And now we have the tools to do just that, as Margaret explained. And I should add at this point about the side effects being the fourth leading, drug side effects being the fourth leading cause of death in the Western world. That study in the Journal of the American Medical Association specifically excluded misprescribing and overdosing and all of those things. Europeans for Medical Progress Trust wants exactly the same thing as our opponents. We want safe and effective treatments for patients as soon as possible. We believe the best way to achieve that is by using the tools and methods Margaret described, focusing exclusively on human biology. Clearly, our opponents disagree. We think a scientific comparison of animal tests with a battery of tests using human tissues, human DNA, and microdosing would reveal which is the better way to predict drug safety. We conducted a nationwide survey of GPs which found that 83% of them would like to see that comparison. And then we initiated an early day motion in Parliament, which 250 MPs signed. That's a majority of MPs who are allowed to sign early day motions also want to see that comparison. Yet protest campaigns against a scientific evaluation, which is odd, because if they were confident that they were right, they would surely welcome the chance to prove it. And we must have a truly open debate on this issue, where claims and opinions must be substantiated with documented evidence. And our thanks and congratulations to ALID for organising the debate tonight. But I want to leave you with this thought. We all know we share almost all of our DNA with chimpanzees, but there's a vast amount of difference between us. If there was a chimpanzee standing next to me now, I hope you wouldn't have too much trouble telling the difference. Even our closest living relative makes a very poor model for human disease. Chimpanzees don't get AIDS, they don't get malaria, they don't get cancer, they don't get heart disease, all of the diseases which kill millions of people every year, and chimpanzees are a useless model. Now that we have the tools to study the differences between individual people, which is how we're going to discover how why some people get a disease and other people don't, which would you choose to study, animals or humans?